This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Health News Channel. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Jose Almeida, founder and medical director of the Miami Vein Center, who is a highly accomplished vascular surgeon and is known as a pioneer in endovascular venous surgery. He is the creator and course director of the International Vein Congress, the largest educational summit dedicated to venous disease, which is now in its second decade and is taking place this year from April the 20th through April the 22nd. Dr. Almeida, pleasure to have you with us on the program.
Likewise, appreciate you having me on.
You bet. So if you would, tell us a little bit about the history of the International Vein Congress and why you decided to spearhead the first summit some 15 years ago.
Sure. So this will be our 15th year. And the reason venous disease traditionally was done through major surgery in the operating room in a hospital under general anesthetic with, large incisions, a lot of inflammation and trauma, and a couple weeks of convalescence. And around 1999, 2000 is when we call it the endovenous revolution started taking place. And basically that means that venous procedures went from open surgery in the operating room to catheter-based procedures that could now be done safely in the office environment with local anesthesia. And I was an early adopter, probably one of the first, 10 in the country to take this on. And as I implemented this into my practice, I had a few patients ask me, why are you the only one doing this? And I realized to myself that this was not quite standard of care. So I knew this was going to be, a disruptor and a change in the way we do things. And that's why I started to initiate the Congress, really to get things out there, so to speak, and see if I could make it standard of care.
The IVC is made of 18 sessions throughout the span of 3 days. Each session comprises of different conversations, demonstrations, and exhibits. What session are you the most excited for?
Sure. The second day of the meeting are what we call the live cases, and that's when we actually perform live surgeries from my office, and we transmit them via, used to be satellite, now it's via fiber optic to the hotel. So I have two accredited operating rooms in my office, and then we get them wired up for broadcast. And throughout that day, we will have patients come in, and myself and Dr. Mackey, there's two of us, it's been the same. Dr. Mackey's been with me 15 years. So the two of us were each in a room, and we go through the conduct of the procedure. So that means that we evaluate the patient, we do an ultrasound, we do all this live, explain what we're going to do. We have a panel at the hotel of experts that we interact with, and then the audience is watching things on the big screen. So it's an interactive session, and the the folks in the audience actually get to see the evaluation take place, and then we prep and drape and put the patient on the table and then do the procedures live also and go through the steps of the procedures. And that's always in the evaluations every year the most well-received because of the interaction and the fact that folks get to actually see what takes place. And we do a variety. There are superficial vein procedures and now deep vein procedures. We do some of each. There's always some new technologies coming online, and we get all the new technologies and show them, usually for the first time or at least in the early phases. So it's really an opportunity for folks to see what's cutting edge and coming down the pike also.
For the health community, this is an event that should not be missed. Now, you are known to be pretty outspoken, especially when it comes to controversial conversations, including the insurance debacle that we're seeing today. What are your thoughts on the current state of healthcare in the U.S.?
In general, it could use some work, let's put it that way. But you know, the morale amongst the medical community has been very low for many years now, and it's just the system that really needs a lot of work. And there's multiple aspects of this. So, you know, let's just start. And it's really the major stakeholders influencing their muscle through lobbying in Washington, D.C., getting their way. So these major stakeholders that we as doctors and patients, because we're really the patient advocates, although we've been demonized publicly, which is another thing. But these major stakeholders like insurance companies really have a huge say in the way things go, especially since World War II when employer-based insurance started taking over, and that's when the major commercial carriers started to really gain traction and power. So they really have a lot of say into what goes on since they're the third-party payer. The American Bar Association, another big one, we've been asking for tort reform for many years. Defensive medicine plays a huge role in the overruns and cost in our society, doing unnecessary imaging just to cover our you-know-what. The hospitals are gaining too much power. The administrators are there now, you know, hiring doctors, so physicians are becoming employed physicians, and then the mantra or propaganda is always that it's going to lower costs and increase quality, and that never just seems to be the case. When you ask physicians, after about 3 years, they get disillusioned with these types of plans. So in general, you know, patients need to get the service. The way the incentives are built in are all misaligned at this point, and we've got a huge problem with moral hazard in that if insurance covers something, a patient is likely to use it, and a physician is likely to use it also. And what that creates, so if carriers are having you know, a lot of benefits in their programs to attract patients, of course, somebody needs to pay for that, and that's going to come through premium increases. So we're seeing the rising cost of premiums as benefits are extended. And in my mind, things that are catastrophic in nature should be covered, but things that are more quality of life in nature should not. So, for example, patients going to the emergency room for a common cold is a huge expense on society that could be avoided if more onus was on the consumer or the patient, you know, for smaller ailments. So these are just some of the things that need to be tackled, and it just seems there's so many political hurdles that nothing changes in Washington, D.C. because of the power of the special interest groups.
And thanks for sharing your thoughts there today. We are joined by Dr. Jose Almeida, founder and medical director of the Miami Vein Center, who is a highly accomplished vascular surgeon and is known as a pioneer in endovascular venous surgery here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, fraud amongst doctors is another topic that you've been vocal about. What do you think the driving issue of this is, and how can listeners avoid it?
Sure, that's a complicated question, and you know, we all go into this, you know, as a noble profession to help patients, and clearly there are procedures that are being done inappropriately. We categorize this into overutilization and inappropriate use, and we're starting to see a lot of it. Of course, I'm in the vascular field, so I'm most sensitive to the, you know, the vascular space, what's going on, and one has seen doctors change their scope of practice, moving into things that may pay a little better. So, for example, vascular surgeons focus on the peripheral circulation, the arteries and veins of the chest, abdomen, and extremities. And that was always under the domain of vascular surgery. We had to go through general surgery training and a vascular surgery fellowship, pass board certification to gain privileges to do these procedures. And what one has seen now, and it just creates turf wars, that, for example, the cardiologist They've taken big hits in their reimbursement for their index procedures such as coronary catheterizations and some of the testing they would do in the office like echocardiography, nuclear medicine. And because of the financial hit that they've been taking, they now start looking under their other areas such as peripheral vascular disease to make up for the miscompensation. And that's occurring across all kinds of lines, and you even see it in the primary care specialty, especially looking at cosmetics that pay cash, and this is all things to augment their income. So doctors in general have been taking cuts in reimbursement for many years now. They're being mired with increased regulation, especially Medicare regulations. We are mandated to take to use electronic medical records, which are 20 years behind the times and slow us down and cause just nothing but heartache. So you have a bunch of disillusioned doctors, morale is low, and then things are starting to change, like ethical behavior, and we're seeing people do things that maybe they ordinarily would not. And I think it's not to justify any bad behavior, because this should never happen. But I think it's just the pressures of the system as it's collapsing or strained, just crashing down on doctors, asking for more time for less compensation, and you're just getting physician burnout everywhere. So it's a problem, and patients need to do their homework when they need something done, because they may fall into the hands of a dissatisfied physician who did not do training in the procedures that the patient is looking for. And this is especially true in the office environment, where one credentials themselves. There are no formal credentialing committees. So now that, like I started the endovenous revolution, now that procedures have gone from the hospital to the office, and it's just not venous procedures, it's other things, it has become unregulated and the oversight has decreased. So physicians that are not formally trained to do things are doing things in their office because they can. If these were occurring in a hospital, they would have to go through credentialing committees and gain privileges. So it's a problem that we have to deal with. And I sit on many of these national committees trying to get our arms around this, at least in the vascular space. But it's going to take a little time since there's no formal processes in place to deal with this.
Quite informative, and really appreciate all that you're doing in this space, Dr. Almeida. Lastly, can you discuss some of IVC's main conference learning objectives? What should attendees expect to walk away learning?
Sure. Again, we deal with the superficial venous system and the deep venous system. So some of the newer technologies in the superficial venous system are for varicose veins, and the new technologies to treat the saphenous vein, whereas before we were using heat-based catheters that require the placement of local anesthesia under ultrasound, now these newer technologies are non-thermal or not heat-based and don't even require local anesthesia. So that's a major, or at least an iterative breakthrough in the saphenous vein technology. So there's three new players on the market, and we'll be showing those through live cases and showing the clinical data available so far. As far as the deep vein procedures, a lot of advancement has been made in clot management or deep vein thrombosis. These are clots that damage the deep veins and are very debilitating. They can actually lead to skin damage and venous ulceration and decreased quality of life and loss of work. And venous ulcers at the cost of about $1 billion to society annually. So as we develop new devices to deal with scarred deep veins, we're making advancements there and improving quality of life. And we'll be showing live cases and giving talks on deep vein technology advancement. Certainly this topic that we just discussed about professional ethics and some of the breakdown there, we will address head on in our keynote address and through panel discussions in our what we call our V2 symposium. Again, we're not shy on taking on the controversial issues. That's what really makes a good meeting, to talk about the things that people are uncomfortable with. So those are some of the highlights that we'll be covering, and I'm pretty confident we'll have another good year because registration is way up right now.
And that certainly is good news and sounds great in all regards. Dr. Almeida, it has been our honor to have had you with us today on the program, and thanks again for all that you're doing in the space. Tell us, where can listeners find more information accordingly, and how can one be in touch?
Well, sure. My office is down here in Miami, and that's miamiveincenter.com, V-E-I-N. The meeting at the International Vein Congress, we call it IVC. That would be IVCMiami.com. So those are the websites where one can gain some information. We have a sister site called Vein, V-E-I-N, veinglobal.com, which provides access 365 days a year to some of the information at the International Vein Congress. And then as things develop throughout the year, we try and keep our email base up to speed, and they can come and access the site and get the information throughout the year.
Sounds good. Well, Dr. Almeida, it has been our pleasure to have had you. Certainly wish you all the best with the conference, and hopefully we can get you back on with us in the future right here on eHealth Radio. Have a great day.
Thank you, and appreciate the opportunity for getting the information out there.
And it certainly has been our pleasure. We've been speaking with Dr. Jose Almeida, founder and medical director of the Miami Vein Center, who is a highly accomplished vascular surgeon and is known as a pioneer in endovascular venous surgery. He is the creator and the course director of the International Vein Congress, the largest educational summit dedicated to venous disease, which is now in its second decade and is taking place this month from April the 20th through the 22nd. And for more information, visit IVCMiami.com, and for the practice, MiamiVeinCenter.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Health News, Personal Development, and Stress Management channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.